like it was a revelation, but it was just more mind games. I noticed he had a lot of young guys hanging around him, buzzing about. A new generation of boys telling him how to act. Curtis went on another radio show, playing 50 Cent and talking about all the women who were supposedly after him just because he had worked with them. "Wait till you see my next video," he said on the show. "What are they going to say when they see Vivica Fox?" The DJs didn't believe him and asked, "Why in the world would I do that since he had been so cruel to me?" They even asked if we were having sex again, and he chose to play coy. "No, we weren't sexually active," he said, then paused at the video. He got the laughs he wanted. He called me on New Year's 2010, but I didn't pick up. I was with someone else, and I had already decided I needed to move on. "That chapter of your life is over," I told myself. I'd had a great love, and Curtis shrunk from that greatness. I was proud that I tried and that I believed in love. I didn't feel weak. He had one last trick up his sleeve in his reappearing act. It was the May 2013 premiere of Will Smith's movie with his son Jaden, After Earth. It was a family kind of night, and I was sitting in the theater feeling very happy to be part of the Smiths' extended family. Someone tapped me on my shoulder and I turned. It was Curtis. "What's up?" I stood up and we hugged. Every headline about him had been drama lately, and he was staring at me so intensely. "Are you okay?" I asked. "I'm all right," he said in a little boy voice. "I'll call and I'll talk to you soon." There was something concerning about it. "I'm serious," I said. "Let me know if you want to talk." "I will," he said. "I'll find you." Instead, he kept talking about me, which was fine. I convinced myself I could take it. But then, he went after my Empire family. I was cast in the second season of Empire, getting to work with my friends Taraji P. Henson, Terrence Howard, and Jussie Smollett. Being with them is like a family reunion, and they also were in Curtis's sights. By then, Curtis had moved from radio dissing to using Instagram as his weapon of choice. I guess he felt Empire was eclipsing his star show power. And so, he hit out against them a few times. On October 15th, he reposted on Instagram saying the show's ratings had declined because of all the gay stuff. He later deleted it and sent his rep out to say he hadn't read the whole thing and missed the homophobia. I was so sad because I know what the gay stuff was code for. Jussie Smollett, who came out in March 2015. I've known Jussie since he was 7 years old, working with his five amazingly talented siblings. We used to hang out and eat french fries talking about movies. The kids called themselves the Von Trapps, but I remember them most as the first vegetarian kind of family I knew. I love Jussie with all my heart. The anti-gay remarks really bothered me because here is someone working his ass off and it's dismissed out of sheer pettiness. So, in November 2015, Andy Cohen had me on Watch What Happens Live. We talked about me being on Empire for the second season, and he asked me what I thought about 50 Cent's comments about gay themes ruining the show. I went on autopilot, and I let my anger do the talking. "First of all, you know, the pot called the kettle black is all I'm saying," I said. "He's not," I continue, "I mean, we had a great time. He just seems like he's got something that's not quite clear." It was an incredibly clumsy way of saying that. Well, that did it. I didn't hear from him directly, but he slammed me on Instagram. "Oh, no. Now she thinks I'm gay because I let her lick my ass? LMAO." Wait, I didn't want her to. She forced me. My hands were tied. 50 Shades of Grey. "Listen, I'm a grown-ass woman. If that was my kink and what I was into, then I would do it. Our lovemaking, by the way, was cherished and special to me. So it hurt to see him make up stories. But he did get a reaction out of it, so of course, he didn't stop. Once my episodes aired, he went after my Empire family big time. He posted a side-by-side of me and some poor woman with a misshapen face. 'I don't know why people will want to cross me,' he wrote. 'I would stay out of my way if I wasn't me, because I'm going to keep winning.' Taraji, an Oscar and Emmy nominee and Golden Globe winner, mind you, came to my defense with a comment on his post. "I probably should leave this alone, but I despise bullies," she began, before suggesting that perhaps 50 should just be happy for others. When he responded to Taraji, he told her he hoped she could eat her trophies. Jussie came right to the defense of Taraji and me, his on-screen mom and auntie, saying 50 should hold up women, not tear them down. "You're in your 40s, brother. It's time to leave all childish pettiness behind." At this point, I had brought this to them. He was aiming for me, and he took on my empire family to hurt me. Jussie, my French fry eating boy turned gorgeous leading man. Taraji, who I watched work for 15 years to win success without sacrificing her principles. Terrence Howard, who I knew when we were starting out talking about how we were going to make it. People who worked so hard, freezing their asses off filming in Chicago to put out a hit show. People who defy all the odds to be a black ensemble show that everyone wants to watch. He can say what he wants about me, but not my family. I decided I would no longer protect him. When he went on Watch What Happens Live in December 2016 to spout more lies about me, I let him have it on Instagram. The devil can only tempt me so much. I thought it would just end with that note of anger, but the Lord intervened. I was in New York City to promote Vivica's Black Magic right after the 2017 New Year. I had a night off, so I decided I would take up Madison Square Garden's offer of courtside seats for the New York Knicks versus Orlando Magic basketball game. Right before we left the hotel, my friend and publicist, BJ Coleman, got a message. "Okay, I gotta tell you something," he said. "What?" "50 is going to be there tonight." "Really?" I said. But then I thought how I had been talking about this trip to New York on my social media. In his defense, he does love basketball almost as much as I do. I looked in the mirror. I had my hair up, and I wore black leather jeans and a gray knit sweater. I completed the look with above-the-knee Michael Kors boots and a Helen Yarmack light fur to fend off the New York chill. I was glad I had listened to one of my rules. Always look good. You'll never know who you'll run into. My friend and I got to MSG early. We were met by a lovely woman who was panicked about the double booking of me and 50 Cent. She kept apologizing. "Just so you know," she said, "you're at one end and he's on the other. You guys aren't by each other." "Honestly," I said, "I'm okay. Listen, I don't have a problem with him being here." I went up to a small VIP area to kill time before the game. And I was so excited because there was Cate Blanchett with her handsome son. Curtis left my mind immediately. I fanned out and decided I just had to say hi. She is so amazing and has shown such versatility on the screen. She is a star. And that sometimes makes it hard for actresses. You run the risk of watching her work and saying, "There's Cate Blanchett playing Queen Elizabeth. Oh, there's that Cate Blanchett again, this time playing a 1950s lesbian." But she does a disappearing act on screen and surrenders herself to the role. "I'm so sorry to bother you," I said. She turned and I stuck out my hand. "I'm Vivica." "Vivica Fox," she shouted with a smile. "You get so excited about people that you think they don't know you." And she did. I don't know if her son saw Kill Bill or Independence Day, because he couldn't have been sweeter, too. "I just love your fashion sense," I told her. "Oh, honey, talk about fashion," she said, gesturing to me with her glass of Chardonnay. "Look at that coat." It was such a vote of confidence. We were all brought to our seats, and my friend ordered a Maker's Mark Neat. I thought to myself, "Honey, you might need a bourbon for this." "Make it two," I said, "but put a lot of ice in mine." It was an A-list night. Besides Cate, there was Ron Howard, Michael J. Fox, Matt Lauer, and there he was, Curtis. He came in wearing a green bomber jacket, tan gray acid wash jeans, and a white baseball cap. Just as I practiced a face of, "I see you, and I'm the coolest cucumber at the grocery store," the announcer said, "From Independence Day Resurgence, Vivica A. Fox." They went to a live shot of me, I had that drink in my hand, so I toasted everybody and said, "Happy New Year, darlings!" I was the first celebrity attendee up on the screen, so people were primed to cheer. I'm an L.A. girl, so to have that huge New York crowd cheering for me felt amazing. At halftime, we were brought up to the private lounge. The place looks like an elegant old cigar lounge, dark with gold accents. There are about 10 tables with a few couches, and you sit there in the atmosphere of good old money. Kate walked by. "Hey, girl," she said. "Hi there," I said. I sat at my table with my friend BJ. Oscar winner Kate Blanchett just hey-girled me, I said. "Damn, hashtag life is good." I spotted Curtis walking in with his little entourage. He took a table across the room, and the VIP lady nervously came over to me. "He wasn't supposed to come up here," she said. "Sweetheart, I am telling you, it's okay. I was just mortified that someone so kind and so good at her job was worried about something as trifling as adults who can't be in the same arena together. "I'll tell you what," I said. "I'll prove it. I'm just going to go over and say hi." Her eyes widened like she could hear the ding-ding at the start of a boxing match. This was MSG, after all. I stood up, smoothed my pants, and walked over. Curtis looked up at me, and his face broke into a huge smile. That pretty, authentic smile I had loved when we first met. That smile melted my heart. "Happy New Year," I said softly. "Happy New Year," he said. "Can I have a hug?" "Of course," he said. He stood up to hug me, then pulled me in to sit at his table. His boys looked like they didn't know what was going to happen. There was one with the black baseball cap who looked a little scared about what he was about to see. "You've been bad," Curtis said. He was referring to my Instagram. I wanted to take that bait, explain to him exactly why I had to go off on him. But I listened to my better angels. I just turned to everyone at his table. "This is family," I said. "Regardless of what we go through, we are family." He took a long look at me. "Yep," he sighed. "First wife." Baseball cap guy fell back in his seat and took off his hat to wave his face. "Oh, thank God," he said. "I had no idea, Vivica. I had no idea what was going to happen. Thank you, God. We are all good." Curtis and I made small talk about our families for a minute, and I said I had to go. "We need to stop this," I said. "Yes," he said. This was the fighting, but it also had the push and pull. By constantly reacting to him, I was only extending my grief. Enough. As I walked back to my table, I let out a sigh. That was the right thing to do, I told myself. Good girl. Whether I had been holding on to love or holding on to anger, I had to learn to let go. I was finally free. Lesson 11. Stop falling in love with a six-pack and a smile. As I write this, I am single. As your sister girl, I will not lie to you. I don't want to be single. But I'd rather be single and happy than be with someone and unhappy. I say as I write this, because I have hope. I have asked the Lord for greater blessings than a man, my work, my family's health, and he has come through. So I have made a conscious effort to wait for my king to share the castle I have built. I am open to adjoining castles, too. You know that I have had a reputation for taking in the young ones. A few years ago, I had to make a conscious effort to stop falling in love with a six-pack and a smile. I joked that I used to date body parts. I also just got tired of being treated poorly. When you're younger, you like the bad boys. But when you grow up, the bad boys just get on your nerves. When I'm out with my girls, I always get the young guys coming up to me. A warning to all you powerful women who can buy your own drinks. If a guy approaches and has nothing to offer you but his youth, he is going to play the angle of taking you down a peg. Each thinks he is the player who invented the trick of acting disrespectful to get your attention. One guy asked me a question, and as I began to explain, he cut me off. Blah, 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 he said. Why don't you just answer my question? Excuse me? Okay, you're 2 seconds away from never talking to me again, I said. And you better work on that tone. It was an immediate turnoff, and I kicked him to the curb. If he is coming over here still smelling of Similac, then he best show some respect. I met this one incredibly hot young guy recently, and I thought, maybe I should just screw him and have a fun night. But I knew exactly how that movie would play. Same script, different lead actor. My girlfriends are so funny. Do the maintenance, they say. You need that maintenance sex to keep everything running smoothly. Trust me, in my day, I had a whole lot of maintenance going on. But now, I feel that sharing yourself with someone is more than just an act. If I allow someone in my space and in my spirit, and I share my body with that man, it's got to mean something. This shift in my thinking happened after I ended an engagement to a younger man in 2011. My last six-pack and a smile. I knew for a while we weren't going to work out. But I still felt I had to go through with the wedding. My sister Shug was one of the only people I confided in. I told her flat out that I felt trapped. Oh, my God, what am I going to do, I said. And what are people going to say? You're miserable, she said. But I got the dress. This seemed important at the time. Stop it, Angie, she said. Don't do this. Whew, she saved me. I had fallen for that peer pressure again and said I was going to get married. I thought I had to go through with this. A deal's a deal, I thought. Shug gave me the strength to walk a different path. For once, I decided to take a break from jumping from relationship to relationship. First, I had to find out if it was even okay for me to be alone, even though I'd been on my own since I was 17. Still, as a girl, I was always saying, I want to have a boyfriend, or I would find someone to make out with for my ego. Look who I'm messing around with, everybody. Now I decided I was going to date me for a while. Treat myself and share my success with me for a bit instead of seeing my riches light up someone else's life. I remember standing in the mirror and smoothing my dress and saying, where am I at? So I did the work of examining myself. I looked at all my failed relationships and realized that the common denominator was me. I also saw other patterns, like my obsessive need to be self-reliant. I've always been determined to be my own provider. I like having my own stuff, like my mother. I don't want anyone holding anything over my head. My worst nightmare is some man saying, you know I gave that to you. No, you didn't. So I unconsciously chose men who were in absolutely no danger of providing for me. I inherited my mother's work ethic. But she also inadvertently and directly taught me to approach relationships from a place of wariness. Not only have I been afraid to give up control and thus have the rug pulled out for me, I have simply been fearful of heartbreak. My father hung the moon for me, but it's a true fact that he was my mother's first love and she never, ever got over him. I have watched my mother carry that all my life. So I have a severe freaking allergy to feeling disappointed in someone. I've stayed guarded with men so it won't happen to me. The second that I am close to feeling too much and risking getting hurt like my mother, I start booking flights to get the hell out of there. As I resolve to wait until the right man comes along, I have to acknowledge that it's tough out there, isn't it? Guys, you have gotten spoiled. You used to court us girls. Now, girls are running after guys instead of letting men earn us. In the wild, when the animal wants to get the female's attention, he does all his tricks. The peacock gets up and shows some feathers. The gorilla beats his chest. Nowadays, all the guys need is a wallet and the girls go crazy. These guys nowadays are so lazy that they forget to romance you. I had this email thing going with a guy I met on a plane. It seemed promising. We met when we were seated next to each other. What caught my eye? First of all, it was a brother flying in first class with no ring on his finger. Let's just say that kind of thing stands out. He was tall and had a great smile, and he seemed like a real man, not some overgrown boy. He didn't recognize me at first. When I travel, I wear a baseball cap and no makeup. We started talking about traveling, and I mentioned that I was going to see my nephew, who just joined the military. "Oh, I used to be in the military," he said. That broke the ice. So I talked more, thanking him for his service. He paused for a minute. "Are you Vivica Fox?" "Yeah." "Oh, wow." It let us connect as human beings. People expect me to be Vivica Fox all the time, and it seemed like we got past that right quick. When we landed, he asked if I wanted help with my carry-on. I flashed on something I was told at a woman's conference I attended in London. This woman got up there and said I had to learn to be a little bit more submissive. I will tell you that my initial response was, "Screw you." But she said to just try to let men help me. So I said to myself, "Just try, Vivica." "Thank you," I said. "That would be nice." He then had a guy bring all my luggage to my car, and he had it loaded up and then tipped the guy. He was a gentleman. "I like to stay in touch," he said. I gave him my email because the phone just seemed too personal. Usually, I'd jump in the shallow end head first. "Here's my number," I'd say. "Come, stay with me, be with me." Nope. I made that promise to myself not to do that anymore. It went okay. I got excited when I saw his name in my inbox. It gave me butterflies. And for me, if I don't have instant butterflies, that little, ooh, it's not interesting. But you have to stay vigilant, because guys, when they want something from you, they can BS you to get it. You can date someone for months, and then all of a sudden, you meet the real guy. "There you are," you say. "I thought you'd be coming," and there you are. He was emailing me on the regular, but then he disappeared over Thanksgiving weekend. 4 days, nothing. He said he lost his phone. Now, when a man leaves the house, he has his wallet, his keys, and his phone. He forgets his wallet, he'll get by. Forgets his keys, he'll find a way in. But his phone? The man will march right on back and get that phone. So, it was suspect that he didn't get a replacement, but also weird that he didn't just get on a computer to email me. He didn't really get why I thought it was a little rude and suspect to go from emailing me twice a day to nothing at all. Here's the deal. If you are a grown-ass person like me, you don't want to get entangled in the loose ends that your potential boyfriend or girlfriend has not tied up. I love my sisters way too much to get in the middle of anything, and I cannot have someone putting me at risk for getting blasted on social media. "Vivica Fox is trying to ruin my marriage." Nope. I was born at night, but not last night. So many girls tell me the same thing. I can't meet a quality guy. I was in Houston a couple of weekends ago for a women's expo. I did a motivational speech, and during the Q&A, this young lady stood up and right away she asked me for dating advice. "Well, what type of man are you looking for?" I asked. She was ready with a whole checklist, right down to salary requirements. He had to be fit, no kids, career-driven, handsome. "So you want Prince Charming," I said. "Yes," she said. "Then let me ask you this," I said. "What are you doing to meet this man? Because it sounds like to me you're waiting for this guy to just come and find you. That's not going to happen." There was a police officer standing near me for security, a gorgeous black man, and I could tell he was listening intently. "You got to learn to go to different places to meet different kind of men," I continued. "Go to the environments where the type of man you say you want actually congregate." "Like a bar?" she asked. "Think more strategically," I said. "You don't want to be at a bar where a bunch of finance dudes are standing around getting drunk with each other. You might hook up with one of them, but that's not going anywhere." She looked confused, so I broke it down. "This man you want to meet?" I said. "He golfs. He plays tennis. He's in a running club." I could see the light turning on in her head. She had this cardboard cutout of a guy in her head just showing up. His life beginning when he saw her face. It never occurred to her that he might actually be out there, you know, living his life, and not hopelessly searching for her. "I should take golf lessons then," she said. "Look, you won't be the first person to realize that successful men golf," I replied. "So don't bother with the silly lessons or sailing classes unless you really want to learn. It will be all women looking for men, trust me. Sign up for a cute little fun run or check out the driving range. A bucket of balls will cost you at most $10. A small investment can have a big return." "I can do that," she said. I noticed the police officer do a quick nod in agreement. "Yes, you can," I said. "But seriously, just try going to a fabulous restaurant on your own and buy yourself a drink at the bar. Dress up like you would for a first date with this person you have in mind. And don't show up looking like the thirst trap. Guys are gonna notice. And if you notice an attractive man doesn't have a ring and he's by himself, why don't you offer to buy him a drink? Don't wait for a man to do something. If you are interested in someone, ask him to dinner." The police officer couldn't take it and had to join in. "That's good advice, Vivica," he said. "That would get my attention." It would get any man's attention. So just choose what man you want. This young woman put an emphasis on the guy's bank account, so I tailored the advice to her. But if you're saying, "Oh, God, I don't care how much he makes. I'm just tired of meeting jerks." Well, then, think about where nice, civic-minded guys congregate. They volunteer for charities. They get involved in political campaigns and initiatives. This isn't about becoming someone you're not just to meet a man. You can't pretend to be a golf fan or feign passion for a local cause if your heart isn't in it. But looking into these experiences will give you a better sense of what attracts the men that you want to attract. I gave that young woman in Houston one last piece of advice, which I will share with you. Get your face out of your damn phone. Look around and pay attention. When you are staring at a phone because you want to kill time or not appear awkward in public, you are telling any and all potential partners that whatever is on that phone deserves more attention than them. Do you want to miss out on a spontaneous connection because you are half reading some inspirational meme about getting what you want in life? That guy I met in first class was at least a grown-up, so I feel I'm on the right track at least. I find a lot of my girlfriends are unlucky in love because they date the same man over and over again. Each time they think, "Now this one, I can change." But you can't force people to be who they're not meant to be. If you think you can train a man to be nicer to you, you're dreaming. Find you a gentleman and don't waste time with him. So what's your six-pack? Think about the guys you've dated or the guys you've pursued if you've been unlucky in love. Answer these questions for each guy. Name, the draw, the pluses, the minuses, what I tried to change about him, time I knew it was over, time it actually ended. Now look at it all together. There's valuable information here. The draw tells you what you were looking for. If we're being honest, the answers will sometimes be, "I needed to have a boyfriend to feel successful," or, "He was hot," or even, "He asked me out." The pluses are obviously the good qualities. They can be superficial, like, "He was sexy," or deep, "He wanted kids." The minuses are what we know we need to avoid in the future. My favorite is looking at what you tried to change about him. If you are the type to date fixer-uppers, this is where we get into it. I've been with mean men who I thought I could turn into gentlemen. I have girlfriends who date cheaters time and again, and they think they are going to magically cure them. The person you wanted to change him into is the person you should have been looking for in the first place. And then we look at time. This is about trusting our instincts and not wasting time. Because you know when it's over. But that doesn't mean you stop trying. It can be sobering to look at the length of time between when you realize this wouldn't end well and when you or the other person actually did something about it. Years can go by. Years that you could have been happy. It's hard to break that cycle and risk going it alone. Don't get me wrong. I still get butterflies. If I didn't, I'd be dead. My crushes run all the colors of the rainbow, and they're fun to have. But I don't want to settle. I can see the pros and cons to living alone. I wake up every day and I can do whatever I want. But some days, like today, I wake up and I would like to have somebody here to share God's blessings with. So, I wait. Part 4. Look amazing at any budget. Lesson 12. Dress for the life you deserve. I was doing an interview with Tracy Edmonds on Extra a little while back, rocking this really cool St. John Knits military jacket with my own jeans. Tracy told me she loved my Jimmy Choo booties. "Who's your stylist?" she asked. "Oh, her name is Vivica Fox," I said, laughing. "Write that down, because I think she's going places. V-I-V-I-C-A. It's true, I love to shop, and I'm not paying a stylist to have all that fun. I know it works for my body, and I know value. I began honing my shopping prowess when I started out as an actress. I had to shop smart. My budget was near zero. So in between premieres and fancy dinners, I would hit up Goodwill and scour consignment shops. I became a bona fide expert in hunting down very gently used designer clothes. When you hear an actress on the red carpet say she is wearing vintage, it doesn't necessarily mean she picked it out of Coco Chanel's temperature-controlled couture walk-in hope chest. It just means someone wore it before her. Julia Roberts and Penelope Cruz went up on stage to accept their Oscars wearing used Valentino and Balmain, respectively. They killed it. I needed to find designer labels not out of a sense of vanity, but because early on, I figured out how the red carpet game worked. At first, I would buy something from BB that I thought was cute, and I'd get all dressed up, pose for a million photos, and talk to every reporter on that press line. Then, I would look at the weeklies, and there would be like, no me. I would be like, but I thought I was cute. It was cute, but it wasn't a cute enough tag. It's a business, and I had to learn the rules. Big designers take out expensive ads in these magazines. When I wore one of the big guns, a Gucci or Calvin Klein, the designer names would catch the eyes of magazine editors. They then run my photo with a caption reading something like, "Vivica A. Fox and Gucci attended the May 19th premiere at Mann's Chinese Theater." And a few pages later, look at that giant, gorgeous Gucci ad. They are called fashion credits for a reason. That coverage was so important when I was starting out, because every casting director reads those magazines looking for new faces. Can't win the game if you don't play. I'll never forget the first time and only time I ended up on worst dress list in a magazine. It was so humbling, to be honest with you. You know the movie Carrie, when she goes to the dance and they all laugh at her? Yeah, it kind of felt like that. It was June of 1997, and this was before I was sure of my look and what works for me. I was attending the Atlanta premiere of Batman and Robin for Warner Brothers. In the movie, I play Miss B. Haven, a henchwoman of Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze. It was a campy, cartoony film, and I let a stylist talk me into a full outfit. It was a blue-tinged mixture of a sheer top with a band across the boobs made out of another material. Sheer across the stomach, then another material down by the legs. It was a hot-ass mess. Now I look at that picture and I say, "Vivica, that was such a no. But at the time, you couldn't have told me I wasn't cute." But I got it, though. I was like, that won't happen again. The criticism can be harsh, but you got to take it in this business. Sometimes still, I'll take a risk, but you better be ready for the feedback and all those online comments. Because, baby, the fashion police will get you. Hit or miss, hot or I've made mistakes and learned lessons. So the biggest advice I tell all my girls is, don't force fashion. Just because something is trendy doesn't mean it's for you or your body type. Take me, for example. I've got boobs and ass sets. I can't wear any trend that's designed for the itty-bitty titty committee, okay? If it ain't got no stretch to it, it ain't working for me. What you can do to keep your look current is to add hints of what's trending. Let's say they're doing too many cutouts, showing off abs and whatever. You can do a cutout down the side of your body that's not so revealing, that's covered with a little bit of lace. Learn to accentuate the positive and not the negative so you don't feel uncomfortable in your outfit. And perhaps more important, so you don't look uncomfortable in your outfit. Confidence is always key. That goes for everyone. Don't feel because you got a little bit bigger that you have got to put on a goddamn muumuu. Whatever size you are, feel good about yourself. It radiates from your whole aura, and people see it a mile away. They either say, oh, she's not happy, or look at her go. That was important to me as I was making my clothing designs for women, and that's why I offered sizes ranging from 4 to 22. I hate when I see clothes in magazines, and you go to get it, and it's like, if you're not sample size, it ain't happening for you. I want to be diplomatic here, but I think that a lot of people in the fashion industry forget that the average glorious American woman is a size 16. If you forget about those beautiful women and refuse to make them feel beautiful and included, you're not good at business and you don't deserve their hard-earned money. My clothes are also not about concealment. No way, honey. Celebrate yourself. I did a gorgeous line of lingerie that showcased the glory of women's bodies in sizes 34 DDD to 44H for the bras and 6'8 to 22-24 for panties. I just want to say one more thing to my big guys and girls. Every molecule in your being is loved and special. You are not beautiful despite your weight. You are beautiful because you are you. If someone told my sister she was special despite being black, or told my friend he was perfect despite being gay, you and I would throw down for them, right? So why do we accept a beauty standard that makes our curvier girls feel inferior? My style has evolved as I have embraced this new chapter in my life. When I started becoming famous, I would go for trends. I would have to have the perfect Tashina Arnold scarf to match my outfit. I confess, I still have to remind myself not to be so matchy and to throw in a pop of color or surprise. Then, for a while, I was heavily into big jewelry, to my detriment. I was spending way too much money. Then, I went into a whole sexy thing where it was all about cleavage. That morphed into my rock and roll phase with a tits and ass kind of look. Now I've been trying to do more mature and ladylike looks, thank you, but with a little bit of edge. What I call my grown woman swag. I will do a little pop of skin, but I had to let go of all my hoochie gear. Just because I could still fit into certain looks, that didn't mean I still had to wear them. When I get red carpet ready, I always have a theme in mind, and I always try to dress to the event. If it's like a music event, you can be a little bit edgier, a little bit sexier. If it's award seasons like the Emmys or Oscars, you have permission to go all out and be glamorous, girl. I always allow 2 hours to get ready. I prefer to prep for an event at my house because I have a little salon with a beautiful mirror, lighting, and a chair. It seems like a luxury, but it's actually very affordable, and you should consider it if you have space. I turn what would have been a pantry area into my private salon. I have one wall mirrored and framed, and I've got my wigs all lined up in there. Then I got 2 strips of beauty lights from Home Depot, placing a row of 6 lights on each side of the main mirror for about $30 a pop. I also put in a comfy chair so that someone can sit and keep me company if they want. I make sure not to forget about outlets so I can plug in the hairdryer and curling iron. And that's my beauty salon. You too can have it, girl. Home Depot can be your best friend. Here are some other tips to keep you fashion forward. Invest in one great bag, not 10 cheap ones. I treat myself to one or two good purses per year. Now, I could get 3 or 4 pair of shoes for the price of that $3,000 bag, but it's worth it. My work bag is always an expensive, well-made black bag. I wear black or silver every day when I'm working and traveling, so that bag goes with everything. I recently got introduced to the world of Celine. Whew, yes, it's an investment, but that bag will never go out of style. It's a classic, beautifully made, and worth the money. A great bag is also an eye catcher and a conversation starter with other women. This woman in the grocery store the other day was like, "Oh my God, that bag." Then she looked at me and said, "Oh my God, Vivica Fox?" That bag and I share top billing, let me tell you. Your shoes are an advertisement for you. My romance with shoes began when Patti LaBelle took me under her wing on the set of Out All Night, my first series in Hollywood. One time, the little wardrobe lady told me my shoes weren't in the shot, so they didn't matter. "Oh, just bring any old pair," she said. I wore these flower shoes that I liked. When I walked in, Miss Patti looked me up and down. "Baby," she said, "please tell me you didn't let them put those shoes on you with that dress." "Oh, they're mine," I said. "I think they're cute." "If you say so," she said. From that point forward, I told myself I would never have anybody give me the side eye about my shoes. Before my knees started giving me the blues, I used to wear them the higher the better. Now I believe in a good 4 to 5 inch heel. Most of the collection in my closet are Louboutins, just because I love those red bottoms. But I also favor Jimmy Choo, Giuseppe Zanotti, and Renee Calviglia. Sometimes, those are all the men I need in my life. Slay at the office. Dress appropriately, but always add a little touch of yourself up front. Perhaps a pop of color with your shoe or shirt. In business meetings, little things can also be talking points. "I love your brooch," or "I like your earrings." Get a tailor and keep things streamlined. Get a good tailor. My tailor loves me, but I drive her crazy. I'm a bit of a broken record, always making the same requests. Take in the arms, take off the belt loops, close the pockets, add a zipper in the back. But I say these things to her constantly because I like a fitted look. You'll hardly ever see me in billowy things because I'm a tall girl. And I always tell her to give me a waistline because I work too hard for this waistline. I say a strong, "Hell yeah," to shapewear. I don't mean squeezing your guts out wearing the corsets all day. But when you are suited and booted, it's nice to be snatched into. Find a fashion role model. You can draw strength and inspiration from your own personal fashion icons. I look to mature, sexy women who are around my age. I'm not going to be taking notes from some girl who just broke the pacifier habit, right? So think about people in your age lane who are killing it. For me, the nominees are Charlize Theron. First glance, she is tall, beautiful, statuesque. She makes you go, "Yes, bitch," when she hits the red carpet. The deeper look. She's never one note. If she goes really rock her edgy with the outfit, the material is in a classic black and white. But when she does full prom princess for an award show, the hair is always very simple. Jennifer Lopez. First glance, man, that bitch. She just gets better with time. I love that she's a mature woman who lets you know the best is yet to come. The deeper look. She dresses totally appropriately for her body and accentuates the positive. She is the queen of using a cutout to draw the eye to what she wants you to see, like her amazing abs. She's about 5'5", and she often elongates her frame by going all leg. And when she does wear a long leg, you better believe she is bare-armed, shoulders out, with her hair styled to death. Angela Bassett. First glance, this is a woman who took 3 or 4 years off to hang out with her kids and live a little bit. And now, she's killing the game. The deeper look. She always has her arms out looking good. You know she does her chair dips and press-ups, so she is going to show you the results in strapless or one-shouldered looks. She'll also mix up classic looks by adding modern touches. A Grecian gown will have little peekaboo cutouts above the waist, or a 50 Styles cocktail dress will have a new and edgy belt. It's such a smart way to stay current. You know she didn't go to Yale for nothing. Visit Quality, even if you don't take it home. There are certain stores that are like museums. Care and taste are put into the edit of what they sell. If I'm in Manhattan for even a minute for work, I always stop at Bergdorf Goodman. I'd like to say it's on the corner of Fifth Avenue and Opulence. You go in there, and what they have to offer is the best of the best. From the jewelry to the shoes to the bags to the dress, and oh my God, the gowns. And oh my goodness, the coats, the hats. I like them because they've got a good price point. But even if right now you can't afford to buy a jacket that looks like a work of art, you can visit Quality, feel it, and then you know it when you see it at a price you can't afford. Remember that you're also visiting people. A staffer can become your best friend. They can give you a heads up when a shoe is about to get marked down, and when you really get in good with them, they might let you in on that employee discount. Be kind, learn their names, and be sure to use those names when you greet them. Okay, you are now ready to get out there and be a fashion warrior. I hope you think of me when you're at the checkout with something fabulous and looking in the mirror at something really fabulous. Lesson 13. Don't get older. Get better. Maya Angelou used to say that modesty was a learned habit. I hate when women find reasons to put themselves down when they are really dying to be told they are just fine. Dr. Angelou preferred humility to modesty, so I humbly say that I have great skin. And I can say that because it is part of my job. I have to make sure my complexion is nice and smooth and even, because my face has to be a canvas for a makeup artist to paint. So trust me when I humbly tell you that I know what I'm doing when it comes to looking good, no matter your age. My biggest beauty secret is the cheapest one. It's a little lemon squeeze, yes, one of those bright yellow plastic lemons you see at your grocery store. You need to drink a ton of water. I try to do 2.5 liters a day, and this will make that water an event. I have one in my bag at all times, and when I rifle through looking for my keys, it's a reminder. Get your water, girl. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. The little guy is under 3 ounces. So he flies with me right through TSA checks, and he just makes the water special. As you hydrate from the inside drinking water, you have to hydrate from the outside. As soon as I get up, I spritz my face with Shu Uemura's Deep Sea Water Rose Mist. I know it sounds exotic and spendy, but it's only about $25 and lasts forever. I swear by it. Then I use Kiehl's Rose Water Toner to clean my face and get it going. I have a steam shower in my house, and I take those showers twice a day. In the morning, I put in eucalyptus drops to wake me up, and at night, I put in lavender. It signals my body to get moving or slow down. As long as we're showering together here, I'll tell you my favorite shampoo and conditioner is the Paul Mitchell Tea Tree Special. If I get to have a day to myself, I'll take time out to condition my hair with hot oil treatments or do a hair mask from Carol's Daughter. One of the things I love about wigs is the versatility and the fact that I don't have to overprocess my hair. I just braid it underneath. Side note, one of the best parts of having a line of wigs and weaves is customers sending me notes on social media. I'm wearing Thais for my date tonight, or heading to a job interview with Hayden. Please keep them coming, girlfriends. Thank you. I don't wear makeup if I'm not working, because I'd like to give my face a chance to breathe. So I just use lip gloss and that old trick of a little clear mascara on my brows. I am a brow fiend. There's a term that actresses use for really gifted makeup artists. They can beat face. It just means that they do an exquisite job bringing you to the heights of beauty. When I have to have my face beat, I swear by MAC, especially the Studio Fix Liquid Foundation and Pressed Powders. When it comes to my eyes, I am a Dior and Chanel girl for my eyeshadow and mascara. Once a month, I do a microdermabrasion and oxygen facial. I started doing this combined treatment with my esthetician, Sharon Stutz, a little over 4 years ago, and my God, what a difference it has made on my skin. I think people hear abrasion, and they are like, geez, what are they going to put on my face? They just scrub off those layers of dead skin and keep things smooth. First, they clean your face really good. Then they sandblast your skin, and those little aluminum oxide crystals do their work, erasing my lines and wrinkles. Then they do the oxygen, which treats the wear and tear of sun damage and toxins in the air. It also hydrates the skin. That's an indulgence, but a good investment. One of my Sunday self-care rituals, if I'm in town, is to spend the morning at the Beverly Hot Springs. It's a spa with the natural hot springs right in the middle of Los Angeles. The best part is this gorgeous pool of water, about 103 to 108 degrees. The water has this silky baby oil feel, and it's constantly pumped and drained, so it's clean. Then they have this cold, cold, cold water you can plunge into. They have it done up like you're in a cave, and you just feel transported to another time and place. I take my girlfriends as a treat and make a girl's day of it. One of my best girlfriends, Aja, calls it Lake Minnetonka, after Prince telling Apollonia in Purple Rain that she has to purify herself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. Whenever I run into her, she yells, "Bitch, you've been dipping in Lake Minnetonka with that good-ass skin of yours." While I am there, I also get a treatment called body care, where they massage you with oil, honey, and milk, wash your hair, and give you a cucumber mask. It's 50 minutes, and if you're single, it feels like the closest thing to getting some. Okay. Who needs a boyfriend? They rub you head to toe, and you get off that table with the skin of a new little baby. I put the work in to look good, but when people tell me, "Oh, you're much prettier in person," I'm like, "Well, damn, what movie did you see?" They also notice that I'm slimmer than they thought. When I exercise, I don't like to be She-Ra with the weight, since the camera already adds pounds, so I have to keep my muscles long and lean. That's why stretching has been so important to me. I do it in the morning no matter where I am, usually right when I get out of bed while my body is still warm from the covers. Should we do one now? How about an upward stretch? I like this one because the first thing you do is straighten your back and hold your head like you're wearing a crown. That's right, my queen or king, wear your crown. Now intertwine your fingers and raise them way above your head, palms facing the sky. You feel that? Now hold it. Didn't that feel good? And I am always sure to get in my sit-ups and push-ups, because that's the way to keep your abs and arms looking tight. I also love to hike, because I get bored just going to a gym. If I want to go to a gym, I need them to have more than a couple of machines I can do at home. So, I will go to a pool for water aerobics 5 days a week if I'm in town. But not just to some gym to run in place. You just gotta know yourself and do things you'll stick with. I'm a girl's girl, so if I commit to working out in a class with someone, I'll do it. But when I'm alone, treadmills bring out the to-do list in my head, so I end up just cutting the run short to get started on work. Part of staying in shape means staying ready for opportunities. When I got the call that they wanted me for the 2016 sequel to Independence Day, I was practically doing backflips. They had been teasing about this sequel on and off for 5 years, and Will Smith had told me that he wasn't interested in returning. Dang, what that mean for me, I joked to Will. Sorry to be selfish, but really, what does that mean for me? I guess that's the end of my storyline, too. Then I got an email that the director, Roland Emmerich, wanted to see me in person. He wanted to make sure that I was still, let's say, together. Don't act shocked. This is a business, and it's 20 years later. They wanted to make sure I still look good. I get it, and let's keep that real. And thank God I've been taking good care of myself. We met at his fabulous L.A. house. And when I arrived, his back was to me. I got out the car and said a sweet, "Hi, Roland." He turned around, and I walked up to him with the hips going, wham, bam. "Well, damn, Vivica," he said. "I think you look even better." Still, I knew I could look even better than his even better. I couldn't be the stripper in the first one and come back anything but taut for the sequel. I put my usual plan into action, and I want to share it with you. First off, don't starve yourself. That's deprivation. I need motivation, some fuel in the tank. What I think works is to up your water intake and choose foods that are lower carb, lower sugar, and lower sodium. Here are my other tips. Start the day keeping it simple. In the morning, I like to eat yogurt with blueberries, fresh-squeezed orange juice, and some coffee. And always water. I eat one little pink grapefruit alongside because it's pretty, and because its tartness brings out the sweetness of the blueberries. A mid-morning apple will keep me from making a bad choice for lunch at craft services or in a restaurant. Cut the portions, but amp the flavor. If you want to have a carb, enjoy half of it and push yourself away from the table. Compensate for that heroic act by banning blandness from your table. I love a lot of garlic and bright flavors in my food. Get out that old lemon squeeze to jazz up grilled fish or chicken. And yes, get dressing, but get it on the side and don't bother with the low-fat stuff. It's probably full of sugar and salt to mask its lack of punch. My trick is to dab my fork in the dressing, then stab that salad. When it comes to salad, there is a reason kale and mustard greens are so popular. They just taste better and more interesting than boring lettuce. What's funny is that my mom used to use kale and mustard greens in her southern greens to jazz them up. Now, she's trendy. If you don't see it, you won't eat it. This is true when the waiter comes to ask if you want bread and whether to stock your cupboards full of snacks. If you have a girlfriend at work who is always bringing in unhealthy snacks for people, consider leveling with her and saying, "I love your generosity, but I am really trying here. Will you help me?" If her intentions are sweet, she will listen. If she really is trying to sabotage you, then you've put her on notice. Satan, get thee behind me. Do you have time to burn calories? One of the reasons I don't like going to a gym is that it's hard to fit that time in my schedule. Since I don't have time to burn the calories, I have to be stricter on how many I take in. Ask yourself if you would prefer to up your exercise routine rather than count calories. Keep it moving, Santa. Listen. I love the holidays. I just hate the food that goes with it. It's simply too much to ask of yourself to spend hours with family, triggering every trigger you got, I bet, and not eat your fillings. So fill up before a gathering with a healthy snack. I call it taking the edge off. If you can cook, and bless you, because I can, but I just don't do it often, make a dish to bring that you know fits your calorie budget. You need and deserve a cheat day. Once a week, you've got to reward yourself. Otherwise, it can get boring and you'll fall off the wagon. The other day, I was in Wisconsin for work. The crew wanted to go to Red Lobster, so I went with them. Of course, I wanted to bond because I liked them, but really, it was because it was my cheat day. I had me a cheese biscuit and a baked potato. I'm not going to lie. My favorite cheat meal is linguine with clams and a good bread with balsamic vinegar and oil with wine. And for dessert, a sponge cake a la mode. Or maybe some good old pepperoni and sausage and mushroom pizza from California Pizza Kitchen. Or perhaps